Could ask the Lord's help. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this day,
the privileges we've had, especially remembering thy Son and his death for us. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy wondrous love and grace. And now we just thank thee too for this time we can be over thy word. And again, we ask a blessing and we thank thee. In thy worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the menservants and maidens, and to eat, and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will become in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
40th verse where it says, Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. There's more than one application that we can make to this verse. The most common application is probably used in the gospel, that there is a need for us to be ready to meet thy God. And certainly there is application in that way to this verse, but if we take this verse in context with the chapter that we have before us, really what it's talking about are those that already know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that we need to be ready. Well, what does that mean? We're already indwelt by the Spirit of God. We're already covered by the blood. What's it mean to be found ready when the Lord Jesus comes back for us? Well, how nice it would be that if we were found walking faithfully in this path, giving testimony to Him and serving Him in our life, that we'd be found in a way in which our state is not hindered. Our standing is secure, but it is possible, like we've been talking this past week, to have something come into our life that hinders our communion. And how nice it is that if the Lord were to come today, that He would find us ready, that it wouldn't be a stranger that we see. It wouldn't be someone that there is a hindrance in our meeting, but one that we could say, this is my, what's that verse in Song of Solomon? Let me turn back to it so I don't misquote it. Song of Solomon 5 and verse 16. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. I believe that when it's talking here about be ye therefore also ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not, it's really speaking to those of us that know Him as our Savior, that we'd be found watching and ready, as we've talked about these past couple of days.
Good to notice somebody else has pointed this out. It's always good to notice when the Word of God says therefore, because there's something that it's there for. And therefore is a conjunction. It links, and generally links two verses together. And I think it refers to verse 39. Know this, that if the goodman or the master of the house would have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and had not suffered his house to be broken through, or as the new translation says, dug through. I think there is a very real sense in which we can suffer loss. And it's not so much that we will suffer punishment, like you said, our standing is secure, but we can suffer loss. And we've been, this chapter, just a few verses earlier, we have in verse 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we're instructed to lay up treasure in heaven. And I think that this verse is warning us that we may be surprised and suffer loss because we haven't been laying up treasure in heaven. The thief comes at a time when you're not expecting him. And the picture there is being ready. We need to be ready as those that are watching for their Lord. I really appreciated up in verse 36, we've already covered this, but it says, when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. that has a little bit different sense than answering the door when somebody knocks. That means that as soon as he knocks, the doors are flung open wide and he's welcomed. And that's really the sense that we need to have there, that we are expectantly waiting for our Lord's return. May the Lord find us watching and being ready. There's a difference, I think, between watching and being ready. I'll just use a very practical illustration. My kids don't like to be late to meeting, walk in late. And so we try to be ready. And oftentimes they will remind me, because I'm not as time conscious as I should be, they may remind me what time it is, and then I have to remind them that they need to be ready. So they'll tell me that it's time to go, and I'll look at them and say, hey, but you don't have your shoes and your coat on. You're not ready to go. You got to go find your shoes. You got to go comb your hair. So we need to be watching, and we need to be ready.
About all the things people are looking for in life, and it tells you don't seek what you're going to wear, look for what you're going to eat, but what you're supposed to seek. How does it go? Seek what? The what? Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In one place it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. The things that the world is looking after, plus a whole lot more. It told how his tender care, if he's taking care of flowers and clothes them, isn't going to take care of you. You don't need to worry. But it's sort of talking about serving the Lord, his kingdom. What does that mean? We're in the kingdom of God. What does that mean for little children? What do you think of when you think of seek ye the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom? Can somebody help us out? And then maybe I'll talk just a little more. What is this kingdom of God? We're told to do that. The Lord Jesus is talking here to the, and then the disciples are going to ask in the verses we're going to study right now, are you telling this to us or is it to somebody else? What is the kingdom of God?
So the gospel is this, we talked about this, bears out the moral character of these individuals that we're talking about in this chapter, and really the kingdom of God has to do with the moral character of the kingdom of God. And so there is a manner of life that is consistent with the subjects of the kingdom.
And so when we talk about seek ye first the kingdom of God and the verse that you quoted and his righteousness, that really bears out the character of the kingdom of God, because it has to do with his moral glory, and the reflection of that moral glory should be seen in his subjects. Did you have a thought, Daniel?
I agree with you. Who is Lord in our life? Who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? In the world, they said, away with him. We will not have this man to be king over us, to reign over us. We do not want anyone telling us what to do. And that is one of the motivations for people that want to believe or say they believe in evolution. They say, if we believed there was a God that made us for a purpose, then what is his purpose and should we be obeying that? We don't want to obey anyone. We want to obey ourselves. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We refuse to recognize a king of the universe, a king of kings, or a lord of lords. And that is why when people are baptized, they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get baptized, it's like saying, I want to put on the uniform that I belong to Christ. I'm a Christian. He died for me, and I owe the rest of my life for him, like we had this morning. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and now all that I have belongs to him. And that's why those verses followed about sell what you have, give alms, provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you know, if you live just for this life, you can get a lot of toys, you can get a lot of money, you can save up a lot of food and die. And then whose shall those things be? How long is it going to last for you? Till you close your eyes in death. And it's all over. It's all loss. And that's why some people say, eat and drink today, for tomorrow we die. And I don't want to think about tomorrow. And that's why you have amusement parks. Amusement means don't think about it. Amuse means to not think. In Spanish, the word is divertirse. You need to be diverted so you don't think about the future. But for the Christian, our blessed hope, a treasure in heaven of being with the Lord Jesus who died for us, if we get diverted from thinking about him, we forget about what's going to last for eternity. If we are just trying to amuse ourselves and not think about the pain of life, we forget about the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God. And so we're getting some of these words later on in this chapter, I think, are more to do with our service for the Lord and our responsibility of managing what the Lord has given for us. While we're waiting for him, we can have an effect on eternity. People have said, oh, you can't take it with you. Anything you have down here, you can't take it with you. But I know somebody that sent it on ahead. How do you send treasures up to heaven before you get there? Does anybody want to guess? My mind just went blank. And so you have treasure in heaven. Who's going to say something over here? Can you say it out loud? How do you send treasure in heaven? By being kind. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. When you're kind and forgiving, it may lead someone to the Lord. And if someone accepts the Lord, are they going to get to heaven? They sure are. Do you know how we live in this world, and when many sons are brought to glory, that is how treasure can be sent to heaven. And I think this says to build up treasure in heaven, and if we're spending our time being selfish and eating and drinking for ourselves and beating the servants and forgetting our purpose isn't what's fair right now, what we're going to get right now, if we got more or less than somebody else right now, that's not so important. The Lord Jesus saw of the travail of his soul. He says it's worth it, and he's satisfied. So I'll just mention one thing. My grandfather was a doctor, and he was helping this old lady in Pasadena, and he was doing a lot to help her, a lot, and I don't know if she could pay or not, but one day she said, Dr. Groth, I just love it. When I die, I'm going to give you my house and the property. He said, well, we need to take care of these health problems right now. And she kept coming, and one day, right in the office, she had a heart attack. And she said, oh, I don't know if she said I'm dying or they knew she was dying. She says, remember, you're going to get the house. And my grandfather says, I don't care about the house. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? That's the most important. I know the Lord is my Savior, and you get the house. And she died. Nothing happened for a few days, a few weeks, and then someone came and knocked on the door and said, Mr. Groth, you just received a house and property. What do you think my grandfather did? Did he go out and buy a new car and you know, sell the house? And what do you think he did? What would you do if you were trying to get treasure in heaven with if you got a house and property that you couldn't keep, what would you do? What do you think Dr. Groth did? He sold the house, got a bunch of money, and what do you think he did with that? Bev Hall, do you know what Dr. Groth did with the money? Do you know what you did over at Dr. Groth's house? Dr. Groth would measure things by Bibles and wither bounds as far as what it was worth. He'd say, this is worth so many Bibles. This is worth so many tracts. He turned it into Bibles and gospel tracts and messages of God's love, and he sent them all over the world. And when he died, I think the house was all spent. He didn't keep it for himself. He passed on, but people had been saved before he even got there. And that was sending, he was a good administrator in the kingdom of God. God was his Lord. He recognized his responsibility. And this is what we're getting. Peter said in verse 41, Lord, speakest thou this parable to us or even to all about being ready? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portions of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, Lord means boss, when he cometh shall find so doing. It's required in stewards faithfulness. What has the Lord given to you? He's given you time. He's given you a heart for other people. He sometimes gives you kind words. He gives you verses to share with others, and people, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, are saved into the kingdom of God and will be there in heaven as faithfully administering what God has given to you. And I think this has something to do with it, that we can be, with all the Lord's love and kindness, that we don't have to worry about even the basic things of what we're going to eat and drink. But are we thinking about what's going to last for the kingdom of God for eternity? That's, I can't think, what this chapter is telling the disciples about.
I'd like to read a verse in 1 John 3. Verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And it says here in verse, in our chapter, in verse 40, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And there's two sides of this being ready. When I was in high school, junior high or high school, I can't remember. Anyway, there was a pamphlet that was going around, 88 reasons why the Lord is coming back in 1988. And I said to the people that were handing that out, you're crazy. The Lord said, nobody's going to know. No, we got it all figured out. I know he said that, and I know no one can know, but we know. And here's 88 reasons why he's coming back this year. And I was like, whatever. But what happens if we have a far-off perspective, the Lord's not coming, then we have all these things that we're, well, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. In the Old Testament, the picture is given of the year of Jubilee. And the people could never build a big old huge kingdom, because at the end of 50 years, everything was given back. There was a giant equalizer every 50 years. So in my lifetime, I had to give it all back. And Xander starts over in his lifetime, he has to give it all back. And it sets you free from greed. It sets you free. But that when we have that expectation, it preserves us from making all these plans. We have to realize any moment the Lord could come. What am I doing right now, as Brother Dan was just saying, in view of eternity? That doesn't mean we don't plan the future. It doesn't mean we don't work hard. But it's with that thought always before us, the Lord could come today. And the other side of that is to realize that we only have to make it through today. There's a lot of people that have trials, and the Lord might come today. This too shall pass. And it was told me one time about all these men that were captured in Vietnam. They were prisoners of war. And the ones that had an expectation for a specific date, I'm going to go home by my birthday, or I'm going to go home by Christmas, or I'm going to go home by whatever the date was, when that date passed, it was really super hard emotionally to set a new date, because it failed. Well, I'm going to be home by Christmas. And they didn't go home that year. Well, I'm going to be home by next Christmas. And it didn't come. And after a while, the people that had an expectation date, most all of them got discouraged, and they didn't make it. But the men that were there, they were like, it may be tomorrow, it may be the next day, it may be in 3 days, it may be in 3 years, it may be in 10 years. I don't know, but I'm going home. I know I'm going home. And all they had to worry about was making it through today. They had all the challenges, the Lord gives strength for the day, they had all the challenges that they could handle for that one day.
And that's all they had to worry about. And they knew the Lord might come today. Be therefore also ready. So as we go through our lives, we don't want to be just amassing things and building. We talked about sandcastles already. We don't want to be doing that. And on the flip side, if we're having a hard time, don't worry about, you know, the doctor says you're never going to walk again. Don't worry about that. Is the Lord going to give you strength for today? Yes. Just take whatever steps you can do that are right in front of you. Look for that hope and then go on tomorrow.
We don't have a lot of older ones here with us today. So some of what we're talking about in the next few verses, verses 42 through 45, may not necessarily have a direct application to us in the sense that I'm going to talk about today, but we can certainly learn from it. I'm going to read these verses again, and then I'm going to read another portion and make the connection. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portions of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler all over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat his men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware. And there will be punishment," it says. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So, this is pretty solemn here, and it's, I believe, an exhortation to those that have been given the responsibility of rule within a local assembly. We have a Lord that makes this one a ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season. That's exactly what we were reading about, 1 Peter chapter 5. And there are two different ones. There's those that are faithful in that service and are found so doing when the Lord comes. And then there's also those that lose sight of the Lord's coming. And it says that they begin to treat those members, as it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Lord's heritage, they treat them in an ill way. They become, it says that they eat and drink. They become self-serving, and their lives are self-indulgent. And to be drunken, they lose their discernment. And so, again, these are things that probably most of us here don't have the responsibility as of yet in these things, but there may come a day in which the Lord puts us in this role of responsibility, and it is so vital that we execute that responsibility faithfully. The two things that were given, in this case, it was, again, to be ready for the Lord to return, and so to have the coming of the Lord before us, but then also to just bear in mind that they're not, that the flock of God, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, feed the flock of God which is among you, and neither being lords over God's heritage. And so we need to recognize that
It's not, even though we have that responsibility, it's not our assembly, God's assembly. It's not our flock, it's His flock. And though we need to take a personal ownership in it, it's His, and we need to treat it like it's His heritage.
I don't know how many people in here would like to see the future, but we have the opportunity to turn the calendar to the next page. In our verse 43, it says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Well, we can turn the calendar. At our house, we have calendar pages that we read. And here you can go to the next page. And on in Matthew 25, verse 21, this is what right when he comes. So in Matthew, it's the next day. He's looking back. It's already happened. And he says this, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things." And it reminds me of a story that a brother-in-law, Walla, told me. He had two sons. And they were, as I remember, they were picking up firewood. And the one, there was an older son and a younger son. And they were there. And the older son was really being helped. The dad would move some wood, and the older one would move some wood. And the younger son went and he found some pieces of wood. And you know how kids are. I used to do this. You know, one of them became a train, and the other one became a truck. And he's playing along and playing along and playing along. And he kind of got absorbed in what he was doing. Well, pretty soon, all the wood was put away. Dusted off their hands. The dad says to the older one, "Thanks, I appreciate your help." And the younger son looks down, and he's been playing, and everything's done. And he says, "Well, but I wanted to help too." Brethren, we have a time to serve, and it's right now. And that time is going to be gone. The day to serve the Lord is right now. We don't have tomorrow. And this is written to believers. We have the opportunity, as our brother said, to lay up treasure in heaven. We have the opportunity to serve the Lord. And it's going to be gone. And it doesn't say in this verse, well thought, well planned, well talked about, well considered. It says, well done. And it's not doing stuff in our own strength, but it's doing things for the Lord with His life flowing through us. And there's no substitute for that. Let's be stirred up to have the Lord's return before us.
Paul could say, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day," or for that day that's coming. Steve was talking about, are we watching and are we ready? A lot of times when you have the opportunity, you accomplish something and then you go on. You plant, and maybe somebody else is going to do the reaping. But everything that is done for Christ is going to receive a reward. You will not lose that reward. And so there are two parts of it. And it is the Lord that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The problem with us is sometimes we put the Lord off and say, "Lord, I go, sir. I'm going to do it tomorrow." And then when tomorrow comes, "Aren't you going to do it?" "Yeah, I'm going to do it tomorrow." And then the next day, "Well, I said it would be tomorrow." Well, when is the tomorrow going to come? And a lot of times, the tomorrow doesn't come. There's a little story in the Bible about two boys. The father said, "Would you do this work?" And the one boy said, "I will not." And the other boy said,
I go, sir. Well, the one boy that said, I'm going to go do it, never got it done. The other one repented and did it. And he was commended, not because he was rebellious and said, I'm not going to do it, but he was commended because he is the one that finally did do it. And the one that had the good attitude that said, I'm going to just do it later, he actually lost out because he never got around to doing it. And the Lord pointed that out. It's all right if we failed. Let's repent and ask the Lord to help us do it. Do what? I was just talking to some of the men this morning. Colossians, there's a prayer in the beginning of Colossians is that Paul was praying that they would not only know the Lord's will, but that they would do it. Thessalonians, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What is that? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Your prayers that are done here on earth can have eternal results in heaven. And that is doing the Lord's will down here for the kingdom of God.
I wouldn't want to make this a real definitive statement, but as you were talking, Matt, about distraction, I kind of wondered if we don't have an example possibly in our chapter here. Peter said in verse 41, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? My question is, what was the parable? I think the parable might have been back in verse 16. It says, the Lord spake a parable unto them about the rich man. And sometimes we can, and I believe that we're all guilty of this, we can hear something and then get distracted by it and miss all the part in between. And I kind of wonder if that wasn't the situation with Peter here. There was something about what the Lord said in this parable that kind of troubled Peter. And Peter, I think, maybe was looking around. I say this because I think if I would have been there, I would have been doing the same thing. And Lord, are you really talking about me? And in a sense, the Lord says yes. We need to be faithful and wise stewards. And we've talked about this, but my concern, my fear is that some of us have been distracted. And it's so very easy in this world that we live in to get distracted. It's almost comical when we see one of the little kids and they're playing with something and then 2 seconds later they drop it and it's completely gone out of their mind and they're off to something else. We often sing that hymn that Brother J.N. Darby wrote. Let me find it real quick. No infant's changing pleasure is like my wandering mind. We all have to confess that's what our hearts are like. But the Lord wants us to be faithful and to have this objective of laying up treasure in heaven and being here for the kingdom in front of our hearts. So I think it's... Go ahead. I think it's number 2 in the appendix. And I'll just read the first two stanzas because I think it's good for us to think about this. Lord, thy love's unbounded, so full, so sweet, so full, so free. My soul is all transported whene'er I think of thee. Yet, Lord, alas, what weakness within myself I find. No infant's changing pleasure is like my wandering mind. So we have to recognize that we're the same way, are we not? We may be on fire for the Lord and very fervent. I can say for myself that this week has been a real encouragement. The challenge for us is when we go from here, that it be a lasting change in our lives and that it not be just an infant's changing pleasure.
So as we've been talking about these things, we've talked about the reward that's associated with this, and there is that aspect. Matt's talked about it, and others have talked about it, and we talked about the judgment seat of Christ, and Steve was talking earlier about the fact that there is a real a chance that we could suffer loss as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, having not been faithful. But there's another side to it, and that has to do with the day of Christ. And the description that we have in Scripture of the day of Christ is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The day of Christ happens at the same time as the day of the Lord, but they have two completely different characters. The day of the Lord has to do with judgment, and it has to do with those that have rejected Christ as their Savior. In 1 Thessalonians, in the previous verses, in 2 Thessalonians, in the previous verses to the verse we will read, it talks about the day of the Lord. But the focus that I'm talking about here is the day of Christ, which has the character of the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. That's a description of the day of Christ. And like Matt said, there is an opportunity for us to serve him in the body now, that when our path of faith here on this earth ends, the opportunity ends. There isn't going to be an opportunity in heaven for us to serve him in a capacity in which there will be glory to him. That's the opportunity that we have now. And like Matt said, it's absolutely critical that we recognize that there is going to be a time in which that opportunity ends. And so we have the aspect of reward. We all know and understand what it's like to receive a reward for what we've done. And there will be that at the judgment seat of Christ. But far more import than the reward that we receive should be the thought that Christ is glorified in a coming day at his appearing by the things that we do now in the body for him and service and testimony for his name.
I think we're pretty much out of time. I just wanted to read part there in 47 and 48, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself. And then in the middle of verse 48 it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You know, one of the challenges that I think we face is we try and play it safe. We try, when I took traffic safety education, I remember looking around, there was a monitor, I don't know if they still do this, there was a monitor and you had a steering wheel, and they were in the back, and if the road turned like this and you turned the wrong way, they would mark it down that you drove off the road or whatever. It was a simulator. And to play it safe, people would not touch the wheel. Well, I can't get any bad marks if I don't drive the wrong way. Brethren, if we try and play it safe, we will lose. 100% of the time. If we turn over a couple chapters of Luke 19, it tells a parable of the talents. Every single one of us has a talent. It's funny that the Lord allowed that that word was used in that day and what it means today. And it says that these three people are given, these three people were given talents. A certain nobleman, this is Luke 19:12. A certain nobleman went into a far country to seek for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and gave them 10 pounds. And he said, occupy till I come. And there was one servant that he was going to play it safe. He wasn't going to do anything wrong. I'm just going to bury it. And when he comes back, I'm going to give him his talent back. And there are people I know, that's what they do. They're afraid of making a mistake. They're afraid of the Lord. They're afraid of serving Him. Let's not be like that, brethren. In verse 20, another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept, laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Let's see. Out of thine own, verse 22, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, that I laid not down and reaping not where I had sown. And he lost. He was punished. And I'm not saying none of us is going to lose our salvation. Don't misunderstand me. But if we say we're going to play it safe, we will lose. Don't do that. Have confidence in the Lord that He's for us. He wants us to win. And take whatever talent we have and use it for Him.
Our loving God and our Father, we give thanks for reading Thy Word. We don't want to be like that man that made all the preparations for earth and died, and then whose will those things be? We think of Thee, Lord Jesus, the rich one, all the riches of glory, becoming poor, that we through Thy poverty might be rich and brought back to heaven to be with Thee. Who can tell how much we owe Thee? Gladly let us render or give to Thee all we have and are. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to get our eyes on something that's just going to waste our time. Thank You for opening our eyes to Your person and Your love, and pray for those that don't know You, Lord, that Your Spirit would work in us and our eyes would be open and our hearts would be touched, that we would live to please You until Thou dost come. And then Thou wilt serve us where we can never serve You again, like on earth. We pray these things. Pray for the next meeting too. Lead us and guide us. The last minute conversations too, Lord. Help us to strengthen each other for the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.